This time of our worship together into your hands, as we look into your word, as we hear from others, just concerning your mission around the world. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us this morning. Amen. One of my prayers for Emmanuel Fellowship, and it's something I do on a regular basis, is that we would be a community of prayer, or a house of prayer for all the nations of the world, for the peoples of the world. And Mark 11, Justin's going back and forth here. Mark 11, verse 17, and it's in several of the Gospels. And he, speaking of Jesus, began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a robber's den." Now, maybe I should kind of mention right now that the Greek word for nations could also be translated peoples. We usually kind of think of nations as countries. The country of the United States, the country of France, the country of Mexico. But peoples is more accurate. And we've talked about this before. For example, in Mexico, there's over 200 different peoples that live in Mexico. And they speak a lot of different languages. Here in the United States, Navajo Native Americans, they actually call themselves the Navajo Nation. They are a people. So, and there's still a number of peoples in the world where the church is almost non-existent, or is very small, or very weak. So what does it mean to be a house of prayer for all the nations? Because I really believe that's what God wants for here. And I have a slide up here. I'm just going to go through this. We've probably mentioned most of this already before, but what does it mean practically? First of all, we have a heart for the nations, for the peoples of the world. We begin to love the peoples of the world as God does. We learn about the nations or the peoples of the world. We read about them. We listen. We study. What's happening? What are the challenges and difficulties that this people are facing? What is God doing? And we listen especially to those Christians or those workers who are working and serving among the various peoples of the world. We also ask the Lord how to pray. We ask, in other words, we want to pray specific things. We don't want to say, "Oh yeah, and be with all the missionaries in Russia, you know, and all the workers in China. Amen." No, that's good. That's a good start. But what specifically should we be praying for? And Lord, what are you saying? What are the spiritual strongholds? What is the spiritual resistance? Because anytime God is moving, there's going to be resistance from the kingdom of darkness. And again, that resistance is torn down through the prayers of the saints, us. Then we pray diligently and with perseverance. And we listen as well, because that's part of prayer. An important part of prayer is intercession. Intercession is prayer, but intercession is when we just don't pray for something, but we actually carry that burden. The high priest in the Old Testament time, they had the names of the tribes of Israel written on their shoulders because they carried that burden. Another place in Ezekiel, it talks about intercession. It talks about standing in the gap, interceding. In other words, it's something that's more than just a prayer. It's remaining in prayer for something. And we pray in faith, because what we're doing isn't just some religious ritual. You know, a lot of times it's common, you even hear journalists and commentaries that, prayers and thoughts with you. Well, you know, that's nice that you're thinking, but praying is something important. It is tapping into the power of God. It's asking Him for divine intervention and for Him to move supernaturally. And God has given us, all believers, this ability to pray and to pray this way. And the Lord says that when we pray together, there's especially, you know, power and anointing for that. We believe in prayer, you know. You know, sometimes I think the reason we don't pray is because we don't really believe in it. But it's powerful, and we want to do that. And then finally, we ask the Lord, what else should I do, or we do? Should I go? Should I visit these people? Should I be an advocate? Should I give? All are necessary. And by the way, if you have a burden to go somewhere and preach the gospel to the nations, it begins by praying. Those are the people that God sends, those people who are praying. Prayer requires time. It's inconvenient. And I know in our modern 21st century, it's we're always looking for, if there's something time-consuming, what do? We get a computer to do it for us. You can't do that for, you know, I can't just kind of download a program to kind of be praying for the nations of the world. You know, I wish I could. You know, I can't hire someone else to do it. This is one thing that God says you have to do, and you have to spend time doing it. So anyway, we're called to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And I'm more convinced now than I ever have been in my life that prayer makes a difference. Prayer opens doors. It opens the eyes of people. It imparts spiritual truth. It's the difference between religious activities and God moving. And it's something that every one of us can do. Our children can do it. You can do it if you maybe have some immigration issues and you can't go anywhere. You can do it if you're home with children as a homemaker. You can do it no matter what you're doing. And God is calling us to be a house of prayer. Okay, so what I want to do this morning, I'm going to call up two families, and there's more families here that are involved in the peoples of the world in one way or another, but I want to call two families that are working among peoples or in one way or another, and I'd just like to kind of interview them. And I see Maria's gone. Is she? Okay, she's about ready. Okay, so Manny and Maria and Elias, why don't you come up, and I'm going to have a... Okay. But by the way, I'm not sure. Manny and Maria, they've been with us for about a month now. They moved up from Castle Rock. And by the way, how do you like Summit County?
We love it.
You love it? Okay, good.
We love it. Thank
good,
you.
Good. Okay, great. And you love it too?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Great. And this is Elias. Now Manny, I've heard you speak Spanish. Do you speak Spanish?
Sí, hablo español.
Okay.
Claro que sí.
Okay, and but I thought your mom was from Greece. How do you
look? My mom is Greek.
Okay.
So I like to say that I'm Greek-sican.
Okay.
I'm a mix of Mexican and Greek.
Okay.
But not maybe, as fluent as Spanish or English.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Perfect. Okay, and Maria, I've noticed that you're speaking to Elias in French. Is that true? You speak French, right? No, that's okay. Okay, that's okay. He can sit there with his grandmother. Okay, so you speak oui?
Oui, oui.
Okay.
Je parle français.
Okay. But your mom, I met her this morning, and she told me she's from Ecuador, so you speak Spanish as well, right?
Sí, hablo español también.
Okay, perfect, okay. And both of you speak English perfect. Okay,
no.
That's right. No, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, you like to think so. Okay, great. Well, listen, you are, but by the way, let me just kind of tell you how I met them. It's kind of a long story. I won't go into all the details, but there's a woman that I met through Isaac, our son, online. She's from Syria, and she lives in Damascus. And kind of, again, a long story. We got to talking about the Lord with her, because people in Syria are wide open to the Lord right now, believe it or not. And she said, yeah, I'd like to come to the States. And actually, I have a good friend who lives in, in Colorado. I said, oh, yeah? And she mentions Maria's name. And lives in Castle Rock. And that's how we got to talking, you know. And I found out that Maria is also a very good friend, like family almost, to George Husney, which is, we've mentioned him before. He's with the... with Horizons International, and I'm on the board there and everything. So as we just got to talking, just God started kind of connecting our hearts, and next thing I know, they're moving up here. So we're excited to have them up here. But they are getting ready to go to France and Switzerland for 3 weeks. And you're doing this drama. Maria, why don't you tell us about this drama?
Yes, the drama, it's a play, a theater act, and it tells the story of the prophets of the Bible, and it was written for mainly a Muslim audience, because they are very devout to God. But their God is not our God.
That's correct.
And they want to think that it is sometimes. But the prophets, even though they have the same name, but the stories are different from the Bible.
Right.
So we want to start from the very beginning of creation and act until we reveal the truth of Jesus, who prophesies for the future too. But for us, he is God, and he is our Savior.
Amen.
And without him and his sacrifice, because he was the perfect lamb, we cannot live with God.
Okay. Okay, amen. Okay, and this drama is a little bit different. It's a monologue, right?
Mostly monologues. Yes, different monologues.
Okay, that's right. So in other words, it gives kind of each of the prophets or each of these characters in the Bible, there's a little monologue, and then there's it's done in a couple languages, right?
Yes, it's bilingual, and that's why it's attractive to the public. It was first done English, Arabic.
Okay. Here in the United States,
yeah,
right?
And now I translated the script to French. So it's French and Arabic.
Okay. And is this the first time it's been out of the country?
I'm not sure out of the country, but...
First time in France.
In France,
yeah,
in
that's
France,
right.
Yes,
okay,
in
right.
French.
Okay. And how many people are involved in this drama?
I think there's about a dozen people, actors.
Okay.
And each actor can do one person from the Old Testament. And one role in the New Testament.
Okay.
So it's about maybe 24 scenes and lasts 1 hour.
Right.
And it lasts 1 hour.
Okay.
And afterwards, the actors stay on the stage. And the audience can ask questions.
Good. Okay, great, great. And I've got a few more. And when are you going?
July 1st.
July 1st, like a week from today?
Yeah, one week.
Yeah. A week from today, okay. And that's why we wanted them to kind of share with this. And you're going to be in Paris?
Paris.
Okay.
Lyon.
Lyon?
And Geneva,
okay, which is in Switzerland. And you grew up in Geneva, right?
Yes.
So this is going home for you, right?
It is, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Why are you doing this? I mean, this costs time. It's costing money.
A lot.
You know, I mean, I don't think you're loaded in money. I don't think, you know, at least I haven't heard that. But you, so is it sacrifice? I mean, why are you doing this?
Because God, like the worship expressed, God is with us. And we understand who our God really is. And God has given me a love for the Muslims and the French.
Amen.
And
and they're both in Paris.
Yes, we believe that there's a lot of people who can hear the message through this art.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And you know, one thing that Maria has kind of shared with me and Manny too is that this is the first time, and I know because I go to France a lot, it's a long process getting contacts, getting people, and they think that this is almost going to be sort of an introduction to this drama. They want to do it again. Maybe I'll be going next time, probably not in the drama, but trying to help get people in churches behind and everything. Would there ever be a possibility that people here could join you for something like this?
Yes.
They'd have to to pray, to do drama.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Where if your heart is in that place and you feel God is putting some interest to France or to act, because we could do the theater here too. We've done it in 6 different states of the United States.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we could do it in Denver.
Right. Okay. Good.
Yeah, and I would also like to add, if you're interested, I think is as long as you are open, God can use you. I'm not an actor. I'm not going to act. But yeah, God is going to use my skill, which is music. I'm a musician, so I'll be performing there. So in any way you can, I'm sure he could. He's open.
That's right. I know we have some people here who do dance, so certainly something like that could fit in.
Absolutely.
You know, so good. Okay, just one other thing, and then I'm going to have you, then Maria is going to do, just give us a little snapshot of the drama. She's actually going to do part of it. But before that, I really believe there's some people who really want to be praying for you for these 3 weeks you're gone. How can we pray for you specifically?
I think the main thing, of course, is for the fruit of what is to come out of this, to be able to reach Muslims, to be able to reach the people of France through a play like this.
Yeah.
Just that we would, you know, not go in vain, but that some seed would be planted in some people. And also, like Pastor was saying, the finances for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Perfect. Okay.
Can I say one?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. I think everyone is in a different place spiritually, but that every heart that sees the play would come closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Single heart would Amen. Have an encounter with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And pray for protection for the team from the enemy.
That's
and
right.
The Holy Spirit to move.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah. And I just like to add too, just knowing France, that there's a lot of people who they hear about something and they think, yeah, I'd like to go, but it's so easy for them not to go. So let's just pray God just somehow just put something in their heart that they got to go see this presentation, and especially Muslims.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, Manny is a musician and he's going to, give a little background. Now, obviously, this drama is just a little bit of it. And, you know, it's more effective when you hear the whole thing. But just to kind of give you an idea. Okay, so, and you probably, would you like to? Okay, so.
For example, we're participating with a church there. And they invite refugees. And our biggest show will be Saturday, the 6th of July, for 700 refugees.
Wow.
Yeah, from Syria, Ethiopia, Somalia, all countries, Iran. And we're going to do a half an hour of music. And some of the church members will do some worship songs. I will sing, Manny will play. It's kind of like this church.
Yeah.
Because the Arabics and Africans are a little behind on the time.
That's us.
So if we say we'll start at 8, maybe they show up at 8:20.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so.
So thank you again. I'm just going to play a little bit of my drum here. If hopefully everybody can see here. This instrument, depending on where you're from, is called a darbuka. It's Mediterranean Arabic. So I'm just going to play a little bit. Pastor asked me to share a little bit, and then Maria will do a little bit of her monologue. So,
amen. You can give it to her, I think, maybe, if she needs it, yeah.
One, two. Okay. Manny has done many trips before to Peru. He's been to Kenya, Puerto Rico, and the drum attracts everyone.
Yeah.
And for the refugees, we're going to go to the camps, and they don't have anything to do. They just came from a place of war.
Right.
And they're separated from family members. And Manny will play, and the pastor says he will invite everyone to come just the same day. Yeah.
Amen.
And then he starts the show like this. And I am going to act as Eve, Adam and Eve. Because the prophet Adam, they call him in the Quran, if we cannot act the prophets. Si, no podemos actuar los profetas porque es un insulto al Corán. Entonces vamos a, sorry, we're going to act a family member or Eve or someone that knows the prophet or of the prophet.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Entonces, entonces, Eric, yo hago un poquito en español, en inglés, y si me traduces eso en español, y hay cuatro estanzas. Por favor, gracias. Aquí entra Eva. Eve comes in. Oh, shame. I feel such shame. Why did Adam and I believe Satan, the father of lies, instead of God, our father? Instead of God, our creator, the one and only true God. I still remember the blood that was shed when he killed the animal to make us these clothes to cover us with their skins. And now I'm afraid. And I'm so alone, alone with my shame. It separates me from Adam and from my God. God, where are you? This was.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you.
I still have this.
A little flyer.
Okay, they're out there. Okay, good. Okay, great. And before you leave, maybe you can just write out some things specifically, and we'll just kind of get it to everybody in the church.
Okay.
Okay, great. And we're gonna pray for them at the end of the meeting. Okay. Okay. Now I'm gonna ask Phil and Sasha and Irina. And most of you know them, many of you do, but Phil and Sasha, they've been here before, and they are living in St. Petersburg. And who knows where St. Petersburg are? Any of the kids? In Russia. Now, I know you've heard of Russia, right? And let me just kind of ask a few questions. How long have you had this burden for Russia, Sasha?
I've had a burden for Russia since I was about 8 or 10 years old.
So God can give a child 8, 9, 10 years old a burden for a place?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And by the way, I remember when Sasha was, I remember when she was a little baby, but I remember when she was 8 or 9 and she would go around saying, I'm going to go to Russia one day. I'm going to go to Russia. I'm going to be a missionary to Russia. And a lot of people said, oh, that's so cute, Sasha. But you know what? God was speaking to her. And how about you, Phil? How long have you had a burden?
I've had a burden for the world since I was a young boy as well, but specifically Russia. Okay. After I met Sasha.
Okay, great. And you served about a year in Mexico or 6 months or something like that?
Yeah, two different times. One time for 4 months and one time for a full year.
Okay, Mexico. Okay, great, good. And you are now living in St. Petersburg for how long? You just got there, really, right?
Yeah, well, so we've been there for 6 months already, and then we'll be returning indefinitely. So we're thinking 20 plus years.
20 plus years, right, okay. And by the way, their first 5 or 6 months, I think I shared this last week, they had to come back to the States for a 6-week training program that happened to be in Fort Collins. That's why we're seeing them every weekend, because they're coming up here. I mean, where would you rather be, Fort Collins on the weekends or up here in the mountains, and especially with us? So anyway, they are here. The first 6 months, a lot of it's language learning. They had a baby in Russia. You know, they're learning how to get around. But could you tell us, and this has already been started because they've been going on short term for a long time, but you work with kids. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we work with teenagers, and what we call youth is usually about 11 years to about 17, sometimes okay. A little bit older. And in Russian churches, there are very, very few youth or even children. So our vision is really to see teenagers in church. Okay. But first, they need to hear about Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Okay. In fact, the church you go to, which is a Russian church, mm-hmm. you told me it's mostly older people, right?
Yeah. Probably 75% are over the age of 65.
Oh, that's older than I am. Okay. So that's, so there it is. We should all go there because none of us are that. That's right. Okay. So now you... One of the main things that you do and you have been doing is these English camps. Mm-hmm. Why English camps?
English is a really big draw to bring in teenagers. They all want to learn English because it gives them freedom to travel to get a better job in Russia.
Okay.
And their parents all really want it too.
Okay, so they encourage, even though it's a, now it's not really a Christian camp.
No.
But it's run by Christians.
Yep. So all we
tell us about how that works.
Yeah, so legally we are not allowed to have a Christian camp. So we make it very clear it's not a Christian camp, but we let all the parents know that, hey, we're all Christians, so there will be conversations that will probably be spiritual and potentially about the gospel.
Okay.
And we tell parents to, if you don't want your kids to ask about spiritual things, tell them not to ask us.
Okay.
And what teenager actually listens to their parents? So we have a lot of spiritual conversations.
Exactly. Okay, good, good. Okay, so now tell us about these kids. I mean, what are Russian youth like? Do they like music?
Yeah, I mean, they're
like teenagers.
Kids
everywhere, right?
They're like teenagers.
Okay.
Here. They're very focused, so I find here in the States, kids will be involved in soccer and music and football and basketball and lots of other activities. In Russia, at a young age, they find out what are they good at, and they do that one thing.
Right.
So
probably carry over from the communist years.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Right, right.
So by the time a kid is, you know, 13, 14, they're an expert in whatever they're interested in.
Right. Now, are they, are they open to the Lord? The youth? I mean, are they hungry? Do they?
Yeah, definitely. It's just very slow
and
cautious. And
why is it slow and cautious? You've already kind of said a little bit. But
yeah, there's a very essence of skepticism.
Okay.
And again, follow over from communism. There needs to be a level of trust before they're willing to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, okay, great. Okay.
They want to make sure you live it before you just tell it.
Right, right, okay, right, of course. And that's really true everywhere, really, maybe more so there.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's a law that says you cannot
proselytize. Yeah, we can't make converts
under
this law. So
okay.
And especially under the age, minors, so under the age of 18, we have to be very, very cautious because it can be seen as influencing a minor.
Okay.
And that's illegal.
Right. So my understanding, they have these camps because everyone wants to learn English. Then they kind of have these monthly meetings that they try in between the camps.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who respond to the gospel through relationships, you start Bible studies for them, right?
Yes. Yep.
I mean, this is a... are there a lot of Christians in St. Petersburg?
No, it's there are about 5,000 to 7,000 believers in St. Petersburg.
And what's the population of St. 20,000?
About 5 to 7 million people.
Okay, so we're talking less than 1%.
Yeah.
Really know the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a mission field.
Definitely.
And do you like Russia? I guess you do, right?
I love it.
You love it, okay.
It's cold.
It's cold, okay. And it's humid too, right?
Yeah, it's right on the water, so
okay,
it's...
Okay, so it's not like cold here. That's
no,
right, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, how can we be praying for you?
So we were talking about some immediate prayers are
okay.
In September we have what we're calling a high school summit, and that's to kind of cast vision for the future. And then in late October, we have our first fall English camp. So those are two major things that we would ask that you would pray for,
okay.
That they would go well, but also in the planning of those, that we would be wise and hear from the Lord on what we should
okay.
be doing.
Right, okay. And that people would just their hearts would be open. That's
yep.
kind of obvious, right?
Yep.
Now, on an ongoing, because we may not see you again for, what, another couple years?
Probably not, yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll see you probably next weekend.
Yeah,
we'll see you
next.
But once you leave for the summer and go back
yeah.
to St. Petersburg, is there a way that we can, I mean, I know I get a newsletter, you know, we correspond. So I get updates. If people are really serious about praying for you mm-hmm. and praying for the youth of St. Petersburg, mm-hmm. is there a way that, is there tell us what they can do.
Yeah, if you would like to receive our monthly newsletter that has our prayer requests on it, you can give us your email address or your home address, and we can send you a letter or an email. And we send those out every month so that you can really feel connected to what we're doing as well.
Right.
Or you can give that information to Mike and we can pass it along.
Yeah, and I can get it to him. That's right. That's right. You know, here are two examples, and there's many, and there's going to be many more, of people that we can pray for, workers that are going out there preaching the gospel to the peoples of the world. Now, Manny and Maria, we'll see them after 3 weeks. But I think they feel like this is something they want to be continuing to do. So we want to, we're embracing that. We're embracing what Phil and Sasha and Irina are doing. By the way, she is very precious here. And I want us to pray. And again, I want to say, no matter who you are, if you are 7 or 8 years old, I guess they're in there, but if you're 8, 9, 10, 11, all the way up, this is something that God will honor as you pray for the Muslim refugees in France, the young people of St. Petersburg, you know, and God will put a lot of other burdens on your heart. But we want to pray, we want to intercede for these situations. So what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for Manny and Maria and Elias to come back up. And let's do this. I guess we're kind of in that summer crowd where a lot of people are gone right now. Let's all kind of gather around, okay? And we're going to pray for them. We'll start off praying for Manny and Maria and their family. And then we'll switch over to them. And we can pray in English, Spanish. Sasha might not understand the Spanish, but the rest of them do. But, you know, the most important, that's right. Yeah, you can pray in Russian if you want. That's right. But, you know, God understands all languages because he's the one that created the peoples of the world. Okay? So let's just pray. You know, Manny and Maria, they're going to be around for another week, but I think they're leaving next Sunday. So next time we see them here, they'll be able to kind of share with us what happened, okay? So just as you feel led, pray.